Welcome to the June 22, 2008 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is by Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Packing a Sword. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
All members and guests, we welcome you to College Park Baptist Church for this hour of worship. We are glad that you have joined us today. We would like to find out everyone who was here, member and guest alike. And the way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite everyone to fill that out, put your name down, and check the appropriate boxes. Give us your contact information. This helps us find out who was here in worship and gives us the latest contact information for you. Then once you fill it out, if you send it down to the end of the pews where everybody has a chance to fill it out, and then when it gets to the end, just send it back to where it got started. We do ask the first person who filled it out on the pew, if you would just rip out the pages that were used so our usher can get those at the end of the service. That is very, very helpful. Thank you for doing that for us. Several announcements we'll make. Today we are having children's celebration. This is for all our four-year-olds through our fifth graders. We are headed to Smith Hall. We're going to make a slight change. We're going to leave during the first hymn today. Second hymn is a little bit later in the service, so we're going to make that change. We will go during the first hymn. We'll head on out to Smith Hall, and that's where we'll be for during the service. Let's see. Today, we are also having the live service, which is our contemporary service every Sunday evening. During the summer, we usually have it outside here on the front lawn of the church. But, you know, it's always subject to change based on the weather. So our plan is to have it outside, but if not, it will be in Smith Hall. So either way, we'd love for you to come a little early, bring dinner for Raymond and myself. That would be fine. Just bring dinner to share. And then we'll have life at 7 o'clock. This also today, our youth are having a new event. It's called For Girls Only and For Guys Only. The girls will be meeting at 2 o'clock, and the guys will be meeting at 4 o'clock for a couple of hours of things for them to do. Let's see, what else? I have an announcement from Ms. Leanne Purnell and Marinelle Page. They're going to be having a special class this summer entitled Fit for Christ. It will be exercising our minds, bodies, and spirits. The class will begin with a brief devotional period, and after their minds are energized, they're going to try to do the same thing with their bodies. So it's an exercise class. There is no cost, so just come wearing comfortable clothes and shoes that promote easy movement, and bring a mat or towel. Mat or towel for floor exercises and stretching. They'll begin tomorrow at 5:30 in the Adult One area. If you have any questions or want to be a part, just call Leanne Purnell or Marinelle Page for anything. All right. We are having our summer Wednesday evening programs are happening. They started this past Wednesday with Ice Cream Social. They will continue this Wednesday with a cookout here at the church. That will start around 6:30, and we want you to come and be a part of that. Stay for a Bible study. Jason will be leading us in Bible study. This is a church-wide event. We invite everyone to come and be a part of that. Barbie. Where's Barbie?
Hey, y'all. I'm not Roger. No good mornings. But I am going to make an announcement about Mountain Outreach. We leave for Mountain Outreach 1 week from today, next Sunday. You guys have been great to get everything ready. If you have signed up on the little sheets to donate something, and most of those that are left are the little things, please bring those in early this week so that we can get them boxed up and labeled so that we can take them in an organized fashion. Mary Nell and Alice are collecting all of the food stuff for our lunches, and thank you very much for that. If you have signed up for some food, if it's non-perishable, bring it to Smith Hall by Saturday. If it's perishable, bring it to Smith Hall on Sunday. They'll pack all that up Sunday morning for the perishable things. Bob and Carolyn Ely are organizing the drinks, and they need a bunch of them. It is hot in Kentucky, and we like to drink a lot. So if you can bring some drinks, soft drinks, water, Gatorade, or lemonade mix, bring those to Smith Hall by Saturday morning. The tool bus. Tool bus has a new rear end, you'll be glad to know. It should go 50 or 55 miles an hour. I know that Bobby Hunt will be excited about that going down the highway. But we're going to load up that tool bus on Thursday evening at 6:30 at Roger's house. Anybody who's fit and able, maybe the Monday morning class will be ready for loading the tool bus on Thursday evening. They definitely need help with that. The Boy Scout troop is gone, so we really need volunteers to step in to load the tool bus. That leaves the other truck. This year we're not taking a tractor-trailer truck. We're taking a large U-Haul. We will load that at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. Is that what time it's going to be picked up, Raj? Okay, 9 o'clock Saturday morning. We do need people to help load that truck. We'll be loading primarily our family's furniture. We have some excess furniture donated. We'll have to take that as we have room for it. So it's a smaller truck to load, so it shouldn't take too long. But we need help with that. So 9 o'clock Saturday morning, we need some help. If you have signed up to go on the trip, today is the last day to officially sign up. So you can still add your name today. Add your name tomorrow. I'm going to be upset with you. You might still get to go. It just depends on whether we've sent off the check for the accident insurance. But we need to make sure that if you are going, you get the release form that's on the table. Those are required by the college that we work with to be able to go. So make sure you get that release form, and there's an envelope you can put it in on the table. You don't have to track me down to turn it in. If it's your first time going, I need your birth date, and you can just write that on the form out there. If your name is red on the form, that means I don't have your birth date, and we need that for the accident insurance. Money. This is a long list. Money. We now have $23,049.45. So we're glad. We do need at least $24,000. We think the actual cost is probably going to be even more than that because building costs have gone up so much. But we know we need at least $24,000. So we're still looking for another $1,000. But a little bit more than that would be wonderful, too. Now, the most important thing, that's a long list of stuff. But that has only to do with stuff, products to bring, money to collect, time to load. I want you to remember this part the most. I realized Friday morning during my quiet time that I have made a big mistake, and I just want to confess that to you. Some of you might have made the same mistake. I've been kind of taking this project for granted, and I haven't spent much prayer time at all about Mountain Outreach. That is wrong. That is my mistake. I hope you guys haven't made the same mistake. But if you have, I want to really ask you to pray about this project this week. Pray about it every day. Because if we don't cover this with prayer, we're just a bunch of do-gooders. We've got to have God in the middle of this project. For this to be a mission of College Park Baptist Church, we've got to knowing that God is right at the center. We can't do God's work if we don't take him along. So please add this to your prayer list. Pray for this. Pray for the Hunter family that we're building the house for. Pray for the safety of our team. Pray for the witness that we are to the community in Kentucky, to the family, to their neighbors, to the waiters and waitresses in the restaurants, to the staff in the hotel, to everybody that we come across. Pray that we are a witness to them. Pray that nobody will see our group without knowing that we're on God's mission. We're just not going to be nice. It's nice to be nice, but it's awesome to be God's hands. That's what we want to do. And I confess that I have not covered with prayer in the proper way. But I commit to pray for this every day this week. And I want to start now, and I would like to lead us in prayer. Holy Jesus, you have given us resources, talents, abilities, and a commitment to this project. But Lord, it's got to be your project. Holy Jesus, I pray for Carla and Brian, Brianna and Brent. I pray that they will know that they have met your people. I pray that they will know that when we talk to them, it's God talking. I pray that the people who are not going with us, I pray for their commitment to be praying for us. Thank you, Jesus, that we can do this. Thank you that we can testify to your greatness. Thank you that we can be part of your almighty work, but only when we bow our heads and confess that we're doing your work. Holy Lord, let this be part of your kingdom. Let us go as your servants. Thank you, Jesus, for walking with us. Thank you, Jesus, for watching over us. In your holy name, amen.
For the guests that are with us today, just so you'll know, the Mountain Outreach is the yearly project that our church does together. We head up to the hills of Kentucky, and we build a house in a week, and we covet your prayers, and we covet any support that you can give to us for that. Because, as Barbie said, we are leaving next Sunday morning. The regular worship service that begins at this hour, we will start at 8:30 next Sunday morning. So there will be no traditional service starting at 10:45. It will be at 8:30 next Sunday. Sunday school will follow at 9:45 for those who are able to do that. But there will be no service at 11. It will be at 8:30. We do want to say a welcome to our guests this morning. You've heard a little bit about us, about the heart of College Park. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now that want to give you a little bit more of the story of College Park. We would like for you, if you're a guest with us, just to raise your hand. The ushers will be glad to give you this pack of information. Inside, you will find a letter from our pastor, as well as some information about the history of our church, the story of College Park, and a newsletter that tells you what's going on right now. Many things happening. Summertime, things don't let up. They actually get a little bit busier, it seems. And that's a good thing with all the things that are happening at our church. So we appreciate you being with us in worship today. You will find a responsive reading called An Invitation to Share in Worship. This is found in your bulletin. This morning's comes from Psalm 24, verses 1 through 6. And we believe worship is something we do together as the body of Christ, and so we have this responsive reading. I invite you to stand now. I invite you to read the dark print as a response to what I read. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters.
Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place?
He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false, he will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior.
Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob.
Amen. You may be seated. Will you pray with me? Father, sometimes when we come into this house to worship you, we want to say how excellent is your name. We want to say how worthy you are. But Father, when we say that, we give you so very little of what you deserve. You are so perfect and you are so mighty and you are so holy. We can never give you the praise that you deserve. But what you ask of us is to try, is to give everything that we have, and that is all you ask. Because on the cross, you gave everything so that we might have life. The name of your Son, Jesus Christ, is beautiful. It is glorious. It is amazing. It is powerful. You have given so much. And so in our way, we try to give back. All we can give is our life. Help us to do that, we pray, during this time of worship. Come into this place. Be with us. Be among us. And may this worship bring you glory and honor. In Christ's name, amen.
steps are guided by your hand. You know when I rest and when I stand. Each breath I take.
Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes first from the book of Genesis in the 21st chapter, beginning at verse 8. Last week we read in Genesis about the Lord appearing to Abraham and Isaac and letting them know that, appearing to Abraham and Sarah and letting them know that Sarah would bear a child even at an old age. That was in chapter 18. Now we continue in verse 21 and read about the child, Isaac. If you don't have your Bible with you, there should be a pew Bible located close to you. Please feel free to read along. This is from Genesis chapter 21, verse 8. The child grew and was weaned, and on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. But Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham was mocking. And she said to Abraham, "Get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac." The matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son. But God said to him, "Do not be so distressed about the boy and your maidservant. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I will make the son of the maidservant into a nation also, because he is your offspring." Early next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulders and then sent her off with the boy. She went on her way and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went off and sat down nearby about a bowshot away, for she thought, "I cannot watch the boy die." And as she sat there nearby, she began to sob. God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God appeared to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer. While he was living in the desert of Paran, his mother got a wife for him from Egypt. And also from the New Testament, in Paul's letter to the Romans, the book of Romans, in chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. May God add his blessing to the reading and the understanding of his holy word. I'd like to share a prayer request for you before I lead in prayer. And that is that many of you know two special ladies from our congregation, Mary Lee Swaim and Jeanette Stoneman, who've had a difficult couple of days. Their brother-in-law, Mr. June Irvin Tuttero, who lives here in town, passed away this weekend, and services will be for Mr. Tuttero this afternoon at Hayworth Miller at 2 o'clock. And then just this morning, their brother, Mr. Sanford Swaim, passed away, and we're not sure what the arrangements will be for Mr. Swaim, but want you to certainly keep Mary Lee and Jeanette in your prayers. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, it's a blessing to be able to come to you in prayer as part of worship. And in this hour, Lord, that we lift our hearts and our minds and our voices up to you and honor you in worship. Lord, it is an honor to be able to pray to you in thanksgiving and also in petition for the people of your church here at College Park. And Lord, as part of the prayer for the people, I lift up each and every person here, as well as those who are not here, to you, Lord. I lift these people up not because they are here, but because they are a part of the body of Christ. Lord, you have searched the hearts and minds of each one of us. You know our needs. You know the things that we are doing well. You know the things that we are struggling with right now. Lord, be ever present with us. Be present with us, Lord, so that we may be who you want us to be, who you created us to be, both as individuals and as part of the body of Christ. Lord, we say here at our church that we are a people gathered in Christ, sent in his name, nurtured in his spirit. That's a big challenge, Lord, to live out. One that we cannot do on our own. We can only do together, and we can only do with your help. Lord, thank you for the things that you're doing through this church, for the ways that you're working in us. Thank you for the people that you have brought to be with us, who have led and who have challenged and who have helped this church do work in your name, both inside these walls, here in the city, and in other places. Lord, we want to be about your work. That's what we want to be about. And we need your help to lead us and to be present with us and to show us on a daily basis through our relationship with you what we are called to do. Lord, thank you for the way you've worked through people. Thank you for the people you have brought to us. Lord, as we say goodbye to some people that you have called to be part of us and that you're now calling in a different area, Lord, we give thanks for them. Lord, we give thanks for people of all ages. We give thanks for our children. We give thanks for our adults. We give thanks for the leaders of this church who lead, some quietly, some very visibly, that the leadership helps the rest of us to plug ourselves in to ways to work for you. Thank you for the ministry that you're doing through our church. But Lord, what we've done is not enough. We know that you're calling us to do more. And just as you are going to be present with each one of us, I ask that you call us and you help us see and hear your calling so clearly that we may know what we're to do for you today, tomorrow, next week in Kentucky, and each and every day. Lord, we're here because we care. We're here because we love you. We trust you. We honor your presence and your love for us. Thank you for honoring us, Lord, by loving us and not giving up on us, even in our bad moments. Thank you for College Park Baptist Church, Lord, and giving us a place to serve, a place to worship. And as I lift up the prayer of the people, I lift it up to you in your honor, Lord, and in your Son's name. Amen.
Keep your lamps trimmed and burning, keep your lamps trimmed and burning, keep your lamps trimmed and burning. The time is drawing nigh. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning, keep your lamps trimmed and burning, keep your lamps trimmed and burning. The time is drawing nigh. Children, don't get weary. Children, don't get weary. Children, don't get weary till your work is done. Children, don't. Christian journey soon be over. Christian journey soon be over. Christian journey soon be over. The time is drawing nigh. Christian journey soon be over. Christian journey soon be over. Christian journey soon be over. The time is drawing nigh. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. The time is drawing nigh. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning, keep your lamps trimmed and burning, keep your lamps trimmed and burning. The time is drawing. Now.
May we pray. Lord, we thank you for such a beautiful day, for your warmth and your love and your care. And Lord, yes, we do stand amazed in your presence, amazed that you love us so, that you gave your only begotten Son, not just for us, but for everyone who would believe on your name. And Lord, help us to share this word with the ones around the world who are hurting so today. Thank you for your faithfulness. We know that you always are there for us, whether it be in the morning or whether it be in the darkness of our life. Lord, we know that as a nation we have been blessed with material things, but we know with this blessing there comes a responsibility to help minister to those who are hurting around the world. We know that there are many who need to hear your word and who need to feel your warmth. Help us to be your feet and your hands and, Lord, your voice, because we know that you have given each of us special talents. Thank you for this time that we can bring an offering to you. Bless the offering. Bless the giver. These things we pray in your name. Amen.
This morning, our lectionary reading is, the gospel reading is from the book of Matthew. I want to invite you to take your Bible out. If, as Jason said earlier, if you didn't bring your Bible with you, that's okay. There should be a pew Bible close by. Turn with me to the first book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 10. I'll begin reading in verse 24, and we'll be reading several verses here. Some of them don't have a direct correlation to what we'll be speaking on, but we're going to read the whole reading, since that is the gospel reading for today. Beginning in verse 24, a student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of the household? So do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Interesting verses. As we were reading along, I'm sure you thought to yourself, I need to mark that one. I've always wondered where it is. I hear people quote it, and so you find yourself underlining verses in your Bible. This chapter has a lot of those quotable type verses, but one that we don't hear quoted a lot is verse 34, where Jesus said, "Do not suppose that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." I don't know if you can envision the Jesus that we know and love wandering the streets of Palestine packing a sword. If you can wrap your mind around that, my mind kind of went to, I'm a fan of The Lord of the Rings, the trilogy by Tolkien. And so when I read this, I kind of had this mental picture of Strider, you know, with his ranger sword, or Gandalf riding the white horse, you know, with the white hair flowing behind him and the long robe. I don't know what your imagery, I don't know what comes to your mind. But it's a little confusing. But whatever it is, whatever your mental picture of this verse is, you know, the phrase, welcome to our world, kind of comes to mind, because in that sense, I want to say Jesus, welcome to our world, because we live in a culture that is so wrapped up in violence. I mean, it's reinforced in almost every aspect of our culture, in our music, in our movies, television, video games, all of that. Daily life on the street, I mean, it can be anywhere and everywhere. You know, it's tempting at this point to kind of throw some statistics out there about, you know, the rise in prisoner and the violent crimes and all that. But I think to do that is going to miss the point. Because what we're talking about today is not violent criminals. We're talking about us. This is one of those sermons where it really is all about us. It's all about us. And what do these verses mean for us? How do we relate to this type of thing? You know, we're not immune. We're not immune to the kind of violence. And I was reminded of that last night. I was in a group and the subject of road rage kind of came up. And that's a phrase that wasn't even in our vocabulary, you know, 20 years ago, road rage. What is that? And as I was thinking about that, my mind went back to about 3 or 4 weeks ago. I was listening to the radio, and on the radio they said, you know, the average driver, and this is during drive time, so it was very relevant, the average driver blows his horn at least once every 2 days. And I'm guessing that when we blow our horn that often, it's really not to avoid accidents. You know, in an ideal world, we'd like to think that. Well, I was just letting them know that I was hearing him. Now, I think most of the time when we blow our horn, what are we doing? Thank you for that testimony. Just the chuckle said, you know, we're sending a message. We're saying something with our horn. And usually it's not a nice thing that we're saying with our horn. I remember the story of a lady who was driving in a downtown area, and this car ran a red light to turn left on red and pulled out in front of her, and she was late. She had to pick up her daughter at soccer practice, and so she just sits down on the horn, and for 2 solid blocks, she is sitting on the horn, screaming obscenities out the window, giving her unkind gestures, you know, all the way down for 2 blocks. And after 2 blocks of this, she hears something and looks in the rearview mirror and sees blue lights, which makes her even more disgusted. Where was he 2 blocks ago when that guy ran a red light? And now he wants to pull me. Well, the officer gets out and handcuffs her and puts her in the car and takes her downtown. And after she'd been in the holding room about 15 minutes, the officer comes back in and said, "Ma'am, I'm really sorry. I have to apologize. But you see, I saw you blowing your horn and heard you yelling obscene things and saw the crude gestures and all that. And I looked on the back of your car and it said, 'Follow me to Christ Church,' and saw the little fish. And I just assumed the car was stolen." You see, we are a people of unclean lips, living in a culture of unclean lips. And we have unclean horns sometimes too. But people of faith, we have to understand we're not immune from this kind of anger and violence that permeates our whole culture. The whole notion, jihad, it came out of a religious system. Christians talk about just war. That's a whole other sermon, but it's this whole thing of violence. When is it justified? I remember several years ago there was a big controversy arose about the hymn "Onward, Christian Soldiers." And at the time it arose, there was a major denomination here in our country that was revising their hymnal. And in the process of doing that, with everything that was said and done, they decided just to omit "Onward, Christian Soldiers" out of the hymnal. They weren't going to put it in their hymnal. Sent the wrong message. You know, but even if we remove hymns from the hymnal, we've got this vein of violence that's interwoven in Scripture. The hard commands to wage war in Hebrew Scripture, to reclaim the land by force. You know, we've got this account of Jesus clearing the temple in a physical way. That actually isn't violence. That's a whole nother sermon. But you know, it's still the imagery there. You know, we have this whole metaphor in Ephesians of the breastplate of righteousness and the shield and the sword. You've got all of that. So what does that mean for all of us? You know, these are all part of our biblical tradition. They're all there. Just as the text that we're grappling with this morning, you know. I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. What did Jesus mean by that? Jesus certainly did not advocate violence. You know, we go back to the Sermon on the Mount. You know, blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called the sons of God. What is he saying? He's saying that God is a God of peace. And for those who seek peace and pursue it, reflect his character. When Jesus paid his last trip to Jerusalem, his last visit there, the message that he brought was one that concerned the things that make for peace. And he wept over Jerusalem because he knew that they were going to decline his message and that was going to lead them to destruction. The message that his followers proclaimed after he left earth was called the gospel of peace in Ephesians 6. And it was called the word of reconciliation in 2 Corinthians 5. So this must have been, peace must have been at the very heart of his heart and his message. Consider it this way. You've got a guy named Simon the Zealot. You've got a guy that was Matthew, who was a tax collector. You've got James and John, who were nicknamed the Sons of Thunder. And you've got Simon Peter, who was a pretty spontaneous, rough-and-tumble kind of fisherman. These guys all coexisted within the 12. You know, the other seven must go, it truly is a miracle. It's a miracle of grace. It's a miracle of peace that we even get along. And it's because of the heart of the message. So what is this passage saying to us? Jesus said he came not to bring peace, but a sword. So what is he talking about? Well, first, let's decide what he's not talking about. You have to look at the context. He is not giving a justification for violence. This is not some text that can be pulled out and say, we can use that for whatever justification we want in terms of violence. This is talking about divisions within families. It's talking about when you make a commitment to Christ, the divisions within families. There's a parallel account in Luke. Remember, Matthew is kind of our historical guy. He draws a lot of imagery and a lot of quotes from the Old Testament to connect with the people so that they could see that Christ is the fulfillment of all the Hebrew Scriptures to that point. He is the fulfillment of it. So Matthew writes from that perspective. Luke, and that's the reason Matthew quotes. If you look in verse 35, there's a section your Bible may have inserted it kind of as a parenthetical thought or indented it. 35 leading into verse 36, that's actually a quote from Micah chapter 7, verse 6. So understand that. Matthew is bringing the Old Testament to light and recording that for us. Luke's a different kind of writer. He was a doctor. He wrote from a little bit different slant. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 51, 51, 52, and 53, Luke kind of tells the same story. And he tells it this way. He's speaking Jesus' words. Do you think that I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, division. But from now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other. Three against two, and two against three. They will be divided. Father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. And you're saying, wow, thanks, Raymond. That really clears it up for me. I understand completely now what he's talking about. We see what Luke does is he pulls the metaphorical sword out and uses a non-metaphorical word, division. But then he goes on to talk about son, father, mother, you know, family being against one another. Understand that when Jesus talked about divisions in family, he spoke from personal experience. When he says these words, he's speaking from experience. There is much evidence from the Gospels that members of his own family had zero support for his ministry. There's an example that's recorded in Mark chapter 3, verse 21, in verses around 21, where it talks about that there were people who came to subdue Jesus by force, because other people were saying that Jesus was kind of out of his mind. He was beside himself. Now, who are these people? Some translations say his friends. Other translations say his own people. I think the more accurate translation comes from the NIV and from the English Standard Version and several other translations that say his family. His family came to subdue him by force because they were embarrassed by his behavior. John chapter 7 verse 5 reveals even his brothers did not believe in him. And obviously when it says believe in him, not believing in his existence because they knew he existed, believing in him as in he was who he said he was. So when Jesus said that he had come to bring not peace but a sword, he is most likely talking about the fact that his coming, he's talking about the effect of his coming, not the purpose of his coming. Do you understand the distinction? what would be the effect of his coming, not the purpose of his coming. And for many of you, you'll say, but wait a minute, he's the Son of God. If he knew that would be the effect, then in essence it is his purpose. And to you, I would say, you're thinking deeply, but go one step further. Don't forget about our choice in the matter. You see, he gave us free will. He gave us a choice. And his words came true. They came true in the life of the early church. And for Christian missions all through the years, all through history, we see what's happened. Because when one or two family members, as Luke records, when one or two family members come to profess Jesus Christ, they've chosen to accept the Christian faith, it many times has caused division within the family. And if you think about it, if you're in a group or you're in a family and the family is not a Christian family or the group is not a Christian group, when you publicly profess Christ and when you act accordingly, you can be subject to being ostracized, made fun of, excluded, or in some parts of the world, even physical violence done to you. And it's good that we're warned. Because otherwise people would say, oh, wait a minute, no, Jesus, you didn't tell me that might be the problem. You didn't tell me that I might have to face this. The cost is too great. I wasn't warned about this. Jesus is not saying, though, go out and pick a fight. What he's saying is the fight may come to you. When you choose to follow Christ, the fight may come to you. And it may even come in the context of a local church. Baptist churches. If you talk in around the water cooler break at work, you know, and tell them you go to a Baptist church, you may get asked when you had your last church fight, because congregationalist forms of government are infamous or famous for that. You know, sometimes in church business meetings and sometimes in the parking lot afterwards. You know, we have a situation where congregations get this reputation. Fortunately, College Park is not one of those. But there are some of our sister churches that are like that. And more often than not, whenever you have that kind of environment in a church, you also have the little gossips who are constantly stirring up things about the color of the carpet or the style of the music or who spent what, or, you know. I don't know. Believe it or not, we have people that constantly gossip or complain and who never engage in ministry. I know you find that astounding, but there are those people. We can pray for them. Early in our career, Sandra and I were serving at a church that, in a church business meeting, the second item on the agenda was a request for $42,000, this was in the early 80s, $42,000 for a new bus. There was no discussion, no questions, write the check. $42,000. The third item of business was a request by a gentleman for $28, that's ingrained in my mind, $28 a quarter, every 3 months, $28 a quarter, so that he could take large print open windows to the shut-ins. $28 a quarter. There was much hubbaloo that was raised over that. And I didn't know whether to cry or laugh, so I cried, well, no, I laughed. And I got in trouble from the pastor. But it just struck me as so odd that we were fighting over $28 a quarter to do ministry, and we just spent $42,000 on a bus. It was unbelievable. But still, as I look back on my ministry, I regret that I was not a part of more fights. Let me rephrase that. Fights that were significant. You see, I think this text reminds us of something else. I think it reminds us that we should not retreat from the world. I think it reminds us that we shouldn't cower in the face of culture. I think it reminds us that the church is commissioned to choose boldness, even understanding the consequences of those choices. We need to understand that boldness may mean that there are from time to time battles that come to our doorstep. Those battles may have to do with seeking justice for those who are oppressed, those who are hungry, those who are sick, those who are imprisoned. I believe that we are called to have a thirst for justice. And it's not an option for us. I believe as believers that the sword that Jesus refers to may be a metaphor for the passion that we are to have for God's ways. Yeah, I believe that Jesus spoke truth with every syllable from his mouth. He spoke truth. And sometimes it may bring division, but if we call ourselves Christians, Christ ones, we are called to speak truth also, even though at times it may bring division. There will be times, I think, when we have to answer for when we foolhardily broke the peace out of ignorance or lack of foresight. I think there will also be times when we'll have to answer for when we allowed peace to be preserved at the cost of speaking justly. Jesus quoted Micah chapter 7. In conclusion this morning, I would like to quote Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And all of God's children said, let's pray together. Dear Father, the teachings of our Savior can leave us disturbed. They can leave us confused at times. They can leave us anxious when we fully realize what it means to pick up our cross and carry it and follow Christ. Father, it can be frightening. Father, we pray that you would give us the strength and courage to truly be Christ ones, to be Christians in a culture that's obsessed with violence. Help us to be the ones that proclaim peace, who live peace, but also who speak justly. Father, it's a fine line, it's a balance. And apart from the power and the wisdom of your Holy Spirit, we wouldn't even try because it would be hopeless. But Father, you've promised that you'll be with us, that you'll give us strength, you'll give us power. Father, we claim that this morning as your children, seeking to understand exactly how we are to live, how we are to teach and proclaim the teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen. As we've worshiped together this morning, you may be here and say, I'm interested in that person Jesus that said all of this, but I really don't know him as my personal Lord and Savior. I want to give you an opportunity this morning to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. I'll be here at the front and be glad to share with you and pray with you about how you can do that. If you're here this morning and you just want to settle some things with God, maybe something that was said in worship or something you heard in the context of the music, it kind of touched your heart. This is a time to respond and square things with God. The altar will be open if you want to come here and pray, or certainly you can do that where you'll be standing. Take your hymnal and sing and mean the words in it. That's one way to recommit your life to Christ. If you're here and you would like to be a part of College Park, it's a wonderful body of believers. I'll be glad to share with you how you can be a part of College Park Baptist Church. We don't fight as much as everybody else does. Yeah. Whatever your decision is, we invite you to make that as we stand and sing together.
Thank you.
you to remain standing. Remember, next Sunday morning, we'll be here at 8:30, right? 8:30. Here in the sanctuary, we will not have 10:45, 11 o'clock service. That will be a commissioning for our mission to go to Mountain Outreach. So come, invite a guest. If they've been looking for that 8:30 service, we do it at least once a year. So come, invite them to come be a part next week. Also, this is a bittersweet day, mostly bitter in my regard. I keep telling the family I'm in denial. But the Minsters, this is their last Sunday with us. Rachel's last Sunday was actually last week. But the rest of the family, this is their last Sunday with us. And so I don't want to embarrass them, but I want them to know just how much we love and adore them and are praying for them and hope they'll remember us and come visit every now and then. And I want to ask the whole family, Ryan, Bethany, Keith, Joy, if you all would come join me here. I want to give this church family a chance to love on this family that's been such a significant part of our church life. I want to give you a chance to love on them. So after the benediction response, they're going to be here at the front, and you can come cry and hug and do all that stuff that we're going to do over the next coming weeks as we think about them going on the mission field down to the Research Triangle area, right? All right, very good. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you for this day, what we've experienced in worship. Touch our hearts, change our hearts, allow us to be used by you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.